Vic, even to a particular people, and the application can be dual. In other words, sometimes when he speaks something specifically to a class of people, we might be far remote from that particular circumstance, yet the principle that he uses is applicable to all people in all ages. This subject tonight, entitled "For This Is Right," of course comes from that outstanding passage in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians and verse 1, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I would hate to think that the term "this is right" would only be applicable to those particular people or even to offspring or children, because that's an overriding principle of the whole scheme. This thing just permeates the whole Bible from the beginning to end. And even though it was spoken specifically here, the application is so general that I want to touch it with you. However, I won't just leave this verse emasculated as far as comment is concerned. I want to look at it. First of all, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Now, this gives us some cue also to Bible understanding or even interpretation that sometimes we go amiss on. And that is the very fact that these children were to obey their parents in the Lord shows that they weren't infants or somebody that would be preschool or something like that. This shows that this is being spoken to a class of individuals that are old enough at least to know what in the Lord is. They are old enough to know what is right. How could a child obey his parent in the Lord if he wasn't old enough to fathom a particular thing like this? So you see, sometimes it brings it up a little higher as far as age bracket is concerned. And he writes this to them. They are old enough to grasp and fathom this. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I think that is probably the most lofty reason that I've ever read for doing anything that God ever asked. You know, he didn't say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for they are always right." I've got a couple that would argue that point with you. I made lots of mistakes, and I suppose you did too, or have, and if you haven't, you will, and I don't want to cast a pall on you, but nevertheless, you'll do it. Undoubtedly, every parent has made some decision that wasn't the best. And children weren't required to obey because parents are always correct, because they're not. Now, I would like to think, because of age, maturity, understanding of the Scripture, and experience, that the odds are that they would be more correct than the child would be. I think the percentage would have to be with the parent. But really, that's not the subject here. While I realize that child will be benefited by this, but the writer says, "You obey your parents, for this is right." You see, the book didn't say children obey your parents because they're stronger than you are and they can make you do it. He doesn't utter it that way either, does it? You see, there's quite a bit that's implied here, and it's so strong that it's absolute, isn't it? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's the correct thing to do." And once this can, let's just leave the child situation for a little while, if you will. And let's just get into it from the practical side, if you will. Not that this has been impractical, but I mean for every person. The idea of doing something just because God says it. And you know, I've noticed in the Scripture all the worthies of the Old Testament and Old New as far as that's concerned. That so many times this has been the basis upon which they had to function, and it was a very outstanding thing. If an individual waits till he's able to fathom all things, why, he'll die waiting. If an individual waits before he can grasp all the great significance of the thing that's asked of him, of God, if he waits that long, he'll never get it done. The Bible says that people are to obey truth. They are to obey God just for the simple reason it's the correct thing to do. Now, this can be carried into a lot of areas. We can take the idea of civil authority if you want to, and the Bible teaches us that we're to respect the laws of the land and all of this. Romans 13:1 states that every soul is to be subject to the higher power. And all of these things are necessary. I can think of individuals in the Old Testament that were reprimanded, punished very severely, some even to death, because a violation of the civil aspect of the Mosaical economy was violated. You see, we have to obey it because it's the right thing. The sooner that people can get away from the idea of associating with a law enforcement officer with the system of the law, the better off we'll be. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to obey that policeman. I know what he did or what he doesn't do and so on like that. Well, that's just naive. That's being childish. That's the worst kind of thinking. In fact, there's no thinking or no logic there. Because I don't suppose any law officer is perfect any more than anybody else is perfect. And you're really not obeying that officer. He is the enforcer of the law. But the system of law, the system of government, is with God. Therefore, I obey. I don't care if the law officer is a very wicked man. He may swear by note or something like this. He could just be very obstinate. But I don't obey the law because he requires it. He is the enforcer of the law. But you obey the law because God is the author of civil government. In other words, we obey it because the system is right. It is right. Not that every person that's an enforcer of it is correct, but because it is correct. And, of course, orderly society demands this kind of conduct. I think obeying the laws of the land is a very, very outstanding thing. I think that goes hand in hand. You take an individual that has a good, clear, maybe he has a sensitive conscience toward obeying the laws of the land. That individual is not going to be insensitive to the laws of God. They go hand in hand pretty close. Because you get an individual that respects one, and you have an individual that's going to have some respect for something else. And I think for conscience sake, we have to obey these things. Sometimes people think a thing is right just because you don't get caught. I guess that's the cardinal sin, though, is to get caught at something. But that's not accurate. That's not true. Now, as far as the church is concerned, we have the same thing. Well, this particular thing, I'll just make a passing remark because I know Richard might get into it. I don't know this. But I read in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse 17... that we were to obey them that have the rule over us, those that are over us in the Lord. Well, As best I can, I try to obey an eldership that I'm under. I think every congregation that I've been a member of, and it hasn't been many, 1, 2, 3, 4. In my lifetime, I've been a member of 4 different congregations. There's one resolution that I made when I was a part of them, whenever I made a transfer. And, of course, that would be a transfer of 3. And in each place, the thing that I resolved to do was this. I resolved that I would absolutely refuse to make the work of the elders more difficult because I was there. I refused to do that. I don't think it's right to make a church officer's work more difficult. The reason I resolved, and I even told them that. Now, I may have inadvertently done it. Maybe in my weakness and frailty, or maybe unwittingly, unknowingly. I doubt seriously that this would be the case, but it could be. I just promised them that I'm not going to make your work more difficult. I was there to make it easier. You know why? Because it's just right. Just within the nature of things, that's the right thing to do, isn't it? It's not in the nature of uprightness and decency to make somebody's task more difficult. Why, no. Children ought to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Maybe all of us ought to obey the Lord just because it's right. And then you don't have very many questions to answer when you approach it this way. I don't obey an eldership because I think they're infallible. I know better. I don't obey the eldership because I think they never make a mistake. I don't obey the elders because I always think they can do a better job than I can. Probably in the main they do, but there's probably areas that I might exceed them in. But if this is a decision, if this is theirs, then I obey that. As long as it's decent, as long as it's upright, as long as it's scriptural and so on like that, I do it for the simple reason that it is the correct thing to do. I told you this thing had a wide reach of application. The thing of doing it just because it's the right thing to do. Let's test it just for a few minutes now in the Old Testament record. When Solomon made the statement in his latter years or in the closing years of his life, in that famed 12th chapter and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is something for us to consider. Solomon said, let's hear the conclusion, the summation of everything, if you will. This is the whole duty of man. In essence, what he is saying is, you obey God just because it's the right thing to do. Because I don't care how long you live or how great your brain is, what an astute student you might be, you're not going to grasp, you're not going to fathom everything. Then you obey it just because it's the correct thing to do. And this will silence a lot of critics. The heroes of faith, as you walk down God's hall of fame in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where men are called to our attention way back in the days of Abel and going on through the number of people that are mentioned, and you search their lives, you look them over carefully, you run the Old Testament as far as the historical aspect of this, and you're going to find out that in the greater percentage of times, these individuals obeyed it because it was right. That doesn't mean that we don't have to understand the will sometimes in order to obey it. But if perchance God says do something and you can't fathom it, you can't grasp it, but you can understand the clarity of the statement, you do it. That's what the thing is. You take the case of Abraham. How much of an argument, how much of a debater was Abraham when God told him to make a sacrifice out of Isaac? You're not going to sit in this pew tonight and tell me that Abraham was able to rationalize all this and understand why. I can think of a lot of things that might have gone the other direction. Here are the promises made. The book said he'd make a great nation out of you. You're going to have to make a great name. You're going to have a great name. You're also going to be a blessing. What a statement that is. Man hasn't lived until he's been a blessing to somebody. And then he said, in thee will all families of the earth be blessed, which, of course, is an indication of the coming of the Messiah. Now, Abraham, he could have thought in a lot of ways. Look how destroying this was. I'm not saying that Abraham thought this. I'm saying that the frailty of the flesh could have thought this. He could have thought, well, why did you go to all the trouble and perform a miracle so that we could have Isaac in our own old age, and then you decide to take him away? Or he could have gone this way. Have you decided not to make a great nation? It could have probed deeper than that, and he could have said, have you decided not to redeem the world? Because the promise of Christ is in that statement that in thee and thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed, and Jesus Christ is the only one that could accomplish that. Couldn't Abraham have said, well, Lord, have you decided not to redeem the human family after all? Did you make a mistake? Did you change your mind? What's happened here? Now, to Abraham's eternal credit, he didn't ask any questions like that. Here's a classic example of somebody doing something just because it's right. And that's what it's all about. Every action of obedience today, some of them I can understand, and you can too. I can come through on a lot of them, maybe most of them. Probably you can. But if we do not do it by faith, based upon the premise that what God requires is correct, we're really missing it. Just do it. Because it's right. Do you know a child, a youth, he can take that, and you know, he can just about put to flight the enemies of the cross. You know, someone might disagree with somebody's obedience, and what are you doing that for? What good is this going to do? What did you do? You know, if somebody would just answer them, I'm just doing it because it's the right thing to do, I'd like to hear the retort, wouldn't you? How would you answer a statement like that? You take, well, I'm just doing it because it's the right thing. How are you going to defeat that? Well, some of your wisest debaters and philosophers, they couldn't get in the room with that thing. They couldn't handle it. I don't know where the answer is. There is no answer there. Just doing it because it's the right thing to do, as I said a moment ago. That's the loftiest reason we can have for doing anything in a religious sense. Now, I'm not up here saying that you ought to just obey everything on appearance without delving into it and studying it and so on, and almost be a total ignoramus as far as the Scripture is concerned. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that when we cannot find what we would think a human logical reason, if God says it, then we do it just because it is correct. And you know, the book is full of this. You know, God just every once in a while has people obeying commands that are illogical just to see whether they'll do it or not. What about the conquering of Jericho? Here's a great formidable wall around this great city. And whoever heard a prescription of walking around a city, I'll just go rapidly on this, 13 times in a week, walking around it. And then blast on the trumpets of ram's horn, have the people give a shout, and the walls will fall down. There's nothing any more unreasonable in the world than that. Never had been a prescription like that given. And yet, again, to Joshua's credit, I don't know what he thought about this. I know he'd never read about it. I know it's unheard of, and all of that. But it doesn't seem to defeat him. To do a kind of a ridiculous thing like that would open yourself up to jeering and people making fun of it and so on. And people would say, well, that just can't be done. Well, if you're talking from a human standpoint, correct. The logical thing would have been to give everyone in that army a hammer and a chisel. He may have worked 8 hours, and he may have had a hole in the wall that big around, maybe 6 inches deep. And when you're dealing with walls that were probably as thick as this building is long and 30, 40 feet high, they built houses on them, you know. At least you could come to a conclusion, a logical conclusion, that if enough men with hammers and chisel work enough years, you could see how the wall could collapse, which you couldn't see through the recipe that God gave. Therefore, Joshua, he just did it because it was the right thing to do. And the results were forthcoming. People use the same thing when they talk about being baptized. Many times that command of obedience is casting. It's just criticized. Cast aside. What is there about this that do this? What's there about water that does this and so on? Paul said in the second chapter of Colossians that it was the faith of the operation of God. How about just doing things because it's right? Just the correct thing to do. And I tell you, this will make a lot of strong people. This will put people where we can all get a hold of it. Doing simple things just because they are the right thing to do. I know I elicited that verse, phrase, I lifted it out of that verse, but I didn't do it any injustice because it's applicable. God calls upon us to do these great things, and there's a lot of great things to do. I read a little statement the other day that impressed me. It says, God does not expect men to do extraordinary things. God does not expect men to do extraordinary things. He does expect men to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. Just common, ordinary things. God expects us to do those things in the extraordinary. Think on it. Let's do things simply because it's right.